You see that the glory of God lightens it, or enlightens it, and that the source of light is the lamp, as it is the lamp. So the lamp is the source of light, is it not? And also, it's interesting that the nations walk in the light of the city. Although it's really the source of the light is the lamp, the glory of God, yet the great city is in the prominence there, and being the one that gives light to the nations. Nations, therefore, is for a city as being their light.
Could we find the Bible in John 1? What is light? First John 1. But in John 1, we see that the light came into this world. But the light was the Son of God, who in every case, is the representative of God, become visible and invisible. The light of God in its absoluteness would be insupportable for men. But it's the lamp which gives the light. Who gives the light? He is the lamp. But then, turning to Philippians 1, in this time, the Christians, the assembly, the individual Christians are named heavenly lights in this world, shining among the corporate and generation. But then, it will not be among the corporate and bad, but in the millennium, the assembly as such will be the light bearer for the whole world. And this links very nicely with what we heard last week at the Jerusalem, because there will be a very close connection between the new Jerusalem and the early Jerusalem in rule, in the shedding of blessing, in the shedding of light. Everything will come from God, by the land, through the city, to the earth.
There is also another consideration in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19. Peter says, "We have the prophetic word made sure, to which you were taken heed, and as to a lamp shining in a dark place." And now here it says, "The lamp thereof is the lamp." So all that prophetic testimony, which has been likened to a lamp, is finished now. The all responding on to all that prophetic word is now reality and in the land. All the prophetic scripture alluding on the land. And now that is realized. Do you think that's why it stresses that the land thereof is the land? The connection there?
This verse is the conclusion of that part of the scripture that uses the link of the city to the outside world, to the nations in particular. When the Lord Jesus was on earth, it was the light of the world. Now, we live in the night of his absence. We are light in the world. We are light in the Lord. And we replace the Lord Jesus as light shining in that dark place. There is one stage further mentioned here. All blessings from heaven to the earth, nations to the earth will come through the heavenly Jerusalem down to Jerusalem. And light is an expression of that blessing. The transition of the blessing is God is the source, the Lord Jesus is the lion, the assembly is the place where that light shines in blessing for the outside world.
There is a verse in Hosea 2, verse 21, which has helped some of us a great deal in understanding what we're talking about. "It shall come to pass," says the scripture, "in that day, I will hear, said Jehovah." This is the one at the top, Jehovah. "I will hear the heavens," and that would refer to the heavenly army. "They the earth, that is the earthly company, and the earthly company will hear the corn, the new wine, and the oil, the blessings will reach even to creation, they will hear Jezreel. I think this is a helpful picture of what will be in the world to come.
The Lord at the top, the heavenly city,
the earthly city, and then reaching to the nations.
Now, excuse me, Daniel, that was verses 21 and 22.
Now that's important. The other thing that would be helped in this consideration is that the precious stones are found in the foundations of the heavenly city. In other words, the light is in the city, but as transmitted to the earth, it comes as a reflected light through these precious stones. I think that's a very attractive thought. And you find in Isaiah 60, you know, arise, shine, for thy light is come. The earthly Jerusalem is lit up with the light of the heaven. Now, I suggest this is really the completion of the picture as far as the dissemination of light to the universe is concerned.
The glory of the Lord Jesus, to remember the experience that Saul of Tarsus had on the Damascus Road, that he saw a light about the brightness of the sun. And what is very clear, that the Son of God, in his outshining, and outshine all the planets of the sky, the moon and the stars. In Isaiah 24 and verse 23, we read there that the moon and the sun will be ashamed. What a person is Jesus the Lord. And all that we as ones who believe in him may learn day by day the greatness of the one who comes so low to be our Savior and to bring us into blessing with himself. And here we get one of the best expression of him, that he, the Lamb, is the light of the city. And as you have just mentioned, Brother Patterson, the light is going to affect the whole earth and everything. As the sun and its present state affect everything on earth, but the Lord Jesus Christ in the coming day, it will be in a far greater way.
Could we just
follow up also this expression of light referred to by Brother Aaron? God glows in light unapproachable, which no man has seen nor can see. It's worth just noticing in John chapter 1 that when the Word became flesh, there were those who saw his glory. In verse 18, the Father's name was declared. But when the message goes out to the world, it's not until verse 29 that it comes to the Lamb. Now I suggest that there is that which is the foundation of our testimony. There's got to be in our souls a deeper understanding of the position of faith that we're brought into before there can be any faithful presentation to the world of the Savior. Now, I think this is borne out in many passages. I'll just quote one. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, we heard to last night, we have the table of the Lord, breaking bread. In chapters 12 and 14, we get the edification of the body, but it's not until chapter 15 that you get the gospel. And I think that it shows that there's a need for us as Christians to be built up positively in the truth before we go out with a gospel message and show that really the only foundation of blessing is repentance. faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that there's a lot of groundwork done in the soul even after conversion. Although, as I suppose, testimony immediately, as Paul did it in Snyon, immediately he preached. Then he was sent up to Arabia to learn just a little bit more about the God who had taken up in Messiah.
Wir hatten in Vers 22 gesehen, wo es da keinen Tempel hier.
We had seen in verse 22, and I saw no temple therein.
Da haben wir gesehen, dass die ganze Stadt der Tempel Gottes ist und das Land.
Then we saw that the whole city is the temple of God and the land.
Dass wir also nicht mehr durch einen Vorhang getrennt sind.
When we are no longer separated by a veil.
Sondern ihm ganz nahe gekommen sind.
But where we have come into his immediate presence.
Und ihm dienen.
And where we serve him.
Und in Vers 23 haben wir gelesen, die Stadt wird da nicht.
And in verse 23 we read, and the city had no need.
Keine Sonne und Mond mehr, die als Licht für diese Erde gebraucht wurden.
No need of sun and moon that had been necessary for this earth.
Sondern wir sind jetzt dort in diese Stadt, die durch die Herrlichkeit Gottes erleuchtet ist.
But we are now represented in this city that has been enlightened by the glory of God.
Und all das Licht Gottes wird sichtbar in dem Land.
And the whole light of God becomes visible in the land.
Können wir da in Verbindung mit auf die Stelle aus 2. Korinther 4 anführen?
Could we link this with the verse which just mentioned before?
2. Korinther 4, Vers 6. Denn der Gott, der aus der Finsternis Licht leuchten hieß, ist es, der in unser Herzen gewohnt hat, zum Lichtglanz der Erkenntnis der Herrlichkeit Gottes im Angesicht Christi.
2 Corinthians 4, Vers 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Gott hat in unser Herzen geleuchtet, um seine Herrlichkeit im Sohn anzuschauen.
Light God has shown into our hearts so that we can view his glory in the Son.
Und nun dürfen wir aus seiner Gegenwart hier Licht scheinen lassen auf diese Erde.
Now, it is our privilege to shine as lights, reflecting light from his presence on this earth.
Das war meine Frage.
Can we see him this way?
May I be allowed, beloved brethren, please, to mention why I took brethren back to this matter of the precious stones. I feel increasingly and deeply how very different the Christian country is from this world through which we're passing. I must confess, as I get older, I find oppression increasingly from the increasing ugliness that's creeping into almost every department of man's life today. You find ugliness in the architecture. You find ugliness in regard to the painting. You find ugliness in regard to language. And one of the things that really stirs me is when people of no account begin addressing the chief executive of the company by their Christian name. I found myself in hospital a few years ago, and a young nurse put her head round the corner and said, "Can I call you Daniel?" I nearly fell off the floor. I mean, the idea of having respect for anybody is going out. And beloved brethren, let's be careful, even in regard to our speech. The early brethren used to speak godly refinement. Now I think that's a good word to take into vocabulary. Godly refinement. In the way in which we speak to one another, when we conduct ourselves in our business, it ought to be somewhat in the steps of one man over to God. And I do feel that this is very important part of the life, that we're mediating to the world, that we should have something with the color of heaven about it, something with the beauty of Christ, to be upon every part of our lives. Now, everything is saying that because I feel so very relevant for us all in this world that's increasingly wicked and will very shortly come under the hand of God. Just one little point to enjoy in conversation with brother. We were talking together about the scriptures, and he said, have you noticed Titus 2:10? Now this is a very lovely verse. A verse that's addressed to household servants, that they are to adorn the doctrine of God in all things. That's just imagine a slave in the household regarded of no importance at all. By his conduct, he was able to carry a testimony in his life. Now, isn't that an attractive expression? To adorn the doctrine of God. Maybe he's representing.
Regarding the question of our brother, it is only to be repeated back, as it was said several times, the life of God is unapproachable. In God is in the light invisible, but he made himself visible, approachable by approaching us in the person of his Son. And in 2 Corinthians 4, we have only one other example of that fact in the gospel of glory, of the Lord, that the Lord of God is visible to us in the face. That is history, and as far as we are concerned, it is the present time still, but we look at from the point of view of Revelation 21, it is history. But here, in the future, we see that the same principle will be true, that the light of God will be shed by the land, and afterwards through the city, reflected by the present dawn, through the richer dawn, the foundation. But I would like to add just one word about the light of the lamp. The lamp will be the lamp, will be the lamp. It is not said Christ will be the lamp, not be the Son of God, but it is the lamp. He who revealed God in this world, who was the lamp without spot or blemish. During his life on earth, who was a sweet odor for God during his life, and who offered himself up into that and who made atonement. This is the only true light to be shared. And you were just reminded of the deterioration and the ugliness of everything in this world. There is the only true light. The Son of God become man, glorifying God during his life, glorifying God through it by his death, and in the same token, by the same token, accomplishing atonement for lost sinners, becoming the man of God. That is the light which God has shed into our hearts. We have believed in him. That is the light which God sheds now by the gospel, and it will be the light of the city in the millennium, and we can say for all eternity. Although, there's one difference, the lamb, the name of the lamb will not occur, will not be there in eternity. There's maybe a little difference because these names in the eternal state, there will be no lamb anymore. And there's not no lamb any mention anymore because God will be all in all. Although the Lord Jesus is there. But the point is that the real and true light, and we may say the knowledge and life, the blessing, everything is only the Lamb of God, our Lord. He is the light shed towards us from God. There's no other. And the practical remark, maybe added, how is it now? There's God does not want his city to be illuminated by any other light. But how much light do we look for, as well look for, and even do the Christians for in this present time? In the tabernacle, there was darkness. There was only one light, the light of the seven, the candlestick for the seven lamps. It was also divine light in the sanctuary. And there will be divine light in the city. And there should be divine light in our lives right now.
In der Philipper 2, Vers 15 lesen wir, dass wir schon in der heutigen Zeit als Gläubige scheinen sollen wie Himmelslichter in der Welt.
We read in Philippians 2, Vers 15, that even today as believers we shall shine as lights, or it says in some footnotes, heavenly lights before men.
Aber wir haben schon mehrfach jetzt gesagt, dass im tausendjährigen Reich Gott die Versammlung als Instrument, als Kanal brauchen wird, um das Licht des Lammes zu reflektieren auf diese Erde.
We mentioned repeatedly that during the millennium God will use the assembly in order to reflect the light of God that is made visible in the Lamb and to reflect this light projected towards the earth.
Und Vers 24 sagt ja, dass die Nationen, sicher zuerst Israel, aber alle Nationen werden durch ihr Licht wandeln. Also das Licht von der Versammlung Gottes reflektiert auf die Erde.
And verse 24 states that the nations, that certainly includes Israel, but all the nations, shall walk by its light.
Und alle Menschen auf dieser Erde werden diese Stadt bewundern und ihr Ehre geben.
And all men on earth will admire the city and will bring glory to the city.
Es gibt viele Stellen im Alten Testament, die das zeigen. Ich möchte nur eine erwähnen aus Jesaja 60. Vielleicht kannst du Vers 3, 5 und 9 lesen, Jesaja 60.
There are many passages in the Old Testament that show this, but I just want to refer you to Jesaja 60. Three verses there. First, Isaiah 16, verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and sing to the brightness of thy rising. And verse 5. Then thou shalt see, and flow together, and thy heart shall hear, and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And verse 9, surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord thy God, and to the Holy One of Israel, because he has glorified thee.
Aber es ist klar, dass diese gläubigen Menschen, die diese Stadt bewundern, nicht eingehen können in diese Stadt, weil sie ja nicht irgendwie teilhaben an der ersten Auferstehung. Also Fleisch und Blut können ja nicht da eingehen in diese Stadt, also diese Leute werden. Aber sie ehren Gott.
It is clear that the believers who will live on the earth will not be able to access the city, to physically enter the city, because this is not for flesh and blood to do, but they will be able to bring tribute.
Aber wir lesen dann in Vers 27, dass doch Gläubige da eingehen werden.
But then we do read in Vers 27, that believers do enter there.
Und ich sage dir, dass es klar ist, dass das alttestamentlich Gläubige sind.
And to me it seems clear that this refers to Old Testament saints.
Weil wir haben hier ein anderes Bild als in Hebräer 12. In Hebräer 12 bewohnt die Versammlung das himmlische Jerusalem wie Engel und alttestamentlich gläubig. Aber hier ist die Versammlung nicht die Bewohnung dieser Stadt, sondern die ist die Stadt selbst.
We have a different picture here from the one in Hebrews 12. In Hebrews 12, the assembly, as well as angels, lives in the heavenly Jerusalem, whereas here the assembly is the new Jerusalem.
When we consider verses like some in John 15, there's a very happy phrase we are used to using, which I think is applicable to the light. The phrase is, that which is the source becomes the origin, it becomes the standard. In John 15, for instance, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. The Son's enjoyment of the Father's love sets the standard for the love that he displays to his own. He doesn't stay there. The Lord goes on to say, if ye love one another as I have loved you, we have no quibble. We understand perfectly that the Son's enjoyment of the Father's love sets the standard for his love to us. But it's extended to us. The extension is there, that our enjoyment of his love sets the standard for our love one to another. Now, it seems to me that when we get this transmission from stage to stage, as to the light, the same concept is applicable. Whether or not it's God through Christ to the assembly, whether Christ through the assembly to Israel, whether it's the assembly through Israel to the nations, that which is the source becomes the standard.
A question about what you remarked about that God, when God is all known, that the thought of the Lamb will not be there in the eternal state. For my heart, the thought of the Lamb is very precious. And if I think of 1 Peter chapter 1, and we have the Lamb for ordained before the foundation of the world, so it is from eternity. And during our life in this earth, we have the remembrance of the death of the Lord. And in heaven, we will rejoice and we will see him as the Lamb that has been slain. Thirdly, in Revelation 21, we read about the eternal state, and then we have the New Jerusalem, the city there. And when we think that the Lamb is the branch of the New Jerusalem, then it, for my mind, it is difficult to grasp that in the eternal state that the resurrection of the Lord Jesus and the Lamb will not be there.
Wenn ich das Lamb in der Offenbarung richtig verstehe,
if I understand the significance of the Lamb in Revelation correctly,
dann meine ich nicht so sehr, dass er gezeigt wird als die Grundlage des Heils.
Then another impression is that the Lamb is not presented primarily as the basis of our salvation,
sondern der nicht beachtet und verachtet worden ist hier auf Erden.
But the Lamb chosen Lord Jesus as the one who was not paid respect and who was despised on this earth.
Haben meine Jugend gehört von Bruder Heiko?
In my youth, I heard from Brother Heiko,
dass dieser Ausdruck eine Verkleinerung vor mich an gewissen Verletzten kann.
I heard that this expression used here in the original for Lamb is a diminutive and it expresses some form of disdain, rejection, that he responds.
Wenn das wahr ist, dann verstehe ich, warum gerade das Lamm verpflichtet.
And if this is so, then it's easier to understand why the Lamb is the Lamb.
Und das ist der Gedanke des Schreibers der Offenbarung durch das ganze Buch hindurch.
And this is the thought of the writer of Revelation throughout the whole book.
Dass gerade der für nichts geachtet worden ist,
that exactly the one who was accounted for nothing
in das Zentrum der Macht gestellt ist, Kapitel 5,
that he is placed into the center of power in chapter 5.
Und hier die gerade der die Quelle des Lichts.
And here that it is exactly this one who is the source of light.
Und das wird in der Fülle, in der Erfüllung der ersten Schöpfung 1000 Jahre dargestellt.
And this will be displayed in the fulfillment of the first creation for 1000 years.
I mean, to support Max in this, I suggest the use of the term man in Revelation is parallel to the term Jesus in Hebrew.
The character of Christ as the Lamb of God will not be lost sight of in the eternal state. Simply the Word of God does not present us this type of truth. Remember, the three divine persons are one, distinct, clearly in scriptures. In the eternal state, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit is presented as a whole. The character of Christ as the Lamb certainly remains too precious for us eternally. The fact that the Lamb of God was set aside before the foundation of the world states that according to God's counsels, Christ had to come on earth, come to the work of redemption. The consequences thereof, the Lamb of God in chapter 45 will be the person administrating the judgments on the earth, the first judgment. The first judgments are from the Lamb of God, then the angel, and the Father. And the marriage sacrament is the sacrament of the Lamb. The Lamb is the glory of the holy city where it belongs. Definitely in his own state, that preciousness for us will not be lost sight of. In this state specifically here, the point of view. One thing we could say also, I don't think we mentioned it yet, the character of the light during the end of time will be the Son of Righteousness, with healing in the wings. This is Christ. Whereas for the church leading from the coming of the Lord to take us home, it's the bright and morning star. The bright and morning star is in relation with the rapture. The Son of Righteousness is in relation with the appearance of the Lord. And that's where we are here, in the end, kind of.
Well, when Jesus was here, he said, "I am the light of the world." And he told his disciples that they were going to be the light of the world. And I'd like to compare this to the sun. The Lord Jesus, the light of the world, as the sun is the light of the world, having his own energy, his own light in himself, and the assembly being the light of the world in the sense of a moon, reflecting the glory and the light of the Lord Jesus. And why have we failed in this, to reflect his light? Isn't it because we haven't been in his light enough? And this is a very personal matter, and I'm referring back to 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Have we not failed in standing personally in the light of the Lord Jesus, so that we have started to fail in reflecting his light? Isn't that the problem? But it will not be the problem here, because the light of the assembly will be the Lamb bearing the glory of God, and this light is going to be perfectly reflected for the benefit of the nations.
I would like to express this all into verse 24 and 26. First, the moral order is important to see in verse 24. There's first the light, and then there's a response. And that is something we find always in Scripture. We need the light first in order to walk in a way according to God. And that is true also for the nations. They need the light. But then we see there's a response according to God. And that is beautiful to see in this verse. Now it continues, the kings of the earth bring their glory to it. And again we read in verse 26, they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations to it. The question I have is, when we read about the glory in verse 24, or their glory, and in verse 26, does it mean exactly the same? It seems to me that in verse 24, when we read of their glory, it is the glory of the city. It is the thought we have also in 2 Thessalonians 1. The Lord will be admired in the saints. That there's this display of glory through the assembly, and this is brought back to it. It is somehow the same what we have in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, where we read in verse 14, at the end, for all is of thee, and of that which is from thy hand have we given thee. So this response, what is received, what is seen, is brought back, and this is really all to the glory of the Lord. While in verse 26, they shall bring the glory and the honor of the nations to it. There we see that there's really also coming something from the nations itself, as we have read also in Isaiah 60.
The Christian, there is more than just reflection on the light. There is an inner power of the Holy Spirit, as but there is the same concept of he that believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And here, with the lamp, it's much more than just reflecting the light. I present this just because we have always to remind us that what Christ has made in us and from us and for us, it is so much important and powerful. We many times look at our weakness, and weakness is certain, and there is not only weakness but also failure, a lot of failure, but we have always to come back to the full resources which are given to the Christian. And it is an actual power of the Holy Spirit, of actual power of light, a lamp, not just a mirror repeating.
It's an interesting thought.
Like that, at the end of verse 24, that you see, I think if that was the case, but how you interpreted it, it could have been kings that have been her glory to it, you see.
Okay.
The city is one person, it's not plural, single is the right, and it would be the kings of the earth bring her glory to it, you know, if you were to interpret the way you're doing. So I think that glory is the kings of the earth. And we've got to bear in mind that in no way does their glory enhance the city. The city of glory cannot be enhanced by anything that these kings of the earth or nations bring to it. They're only just bringing their very best as a tribute to Lady, a just Jew. But there is no way that their glory will enhance that city.
One could compare the Queen of Sheba with what is said here. she brought her glory, the glory of her kingdom, to Solomon without adding anything to his glory, but only as a given tribute. But these kings of the earth, where are they? They are on earth. And where do they bring their glory? To the heavenly city. How can they reach there? They can only bring it to the Jerusalem on earth, which, how it has it said in Isaiah and in Zechariah, that Jerusalem, the earthly Jerusalem, will be the center of the world government on earth. But as we have more than once underlined during our reading today, the early Jerusalem will be enlightened and will be in a direct connection with the heavenly Jerusalem. So everything, I cannot understand it otherwise, that everything is brought to the early Jerusalem as the center on earth, but in a way also to the heavenly Jerusalem, which is about everything. And we show again, underline again, that our brother Master has said that there is a very close connection between the heavenly and the earthly Jerusalem. But in both cases, it is the glory of the king, which they bring to the city. One can see them like
Davidas Vers 26. Die Bedeutung hat, dass sie die segensreiche Position des neuen Jerusalems anerkennen.
I think that verses 24 and 26 mean that they, that the nations, will recognize the blessed position of the New Jerusalem.
Die segensreiche Wirkung des neuen Jerusalems im Licht über die ganze Erde.
And the blessed effect of the New Jerusalem, the view of the whole earth,
wird Vers 24 von dem König is recognized by the kings, verse 24, und in Vers 26 geht es dann in Reich und es ist dann die Nation.
And then it becomes broader in verse 26 and speaks of the nation.
Die Könige der Erde werden den Menschen dieser Erde vorangehen in der Anerkennung der segensreichen Position. Das meine ich. The kings of the earth will lead the way, so to speak, for the men of the earth in their recognition of the blessed position of the New Jerusalem. I
think it's a question of sequence. Took the Thessalonians 1, when it says that the Lord Jesus will be admired, what is it saying?
The Lord
Jesus will be honored and believed, glorified in his saints. I think it's the introduction of the millennium and the glorious appearance, the appearing of the Lord Jesus with his saints. And there will be definitely a statement from the whole world that the saints are associated with Christ in his glory. Now, during the course of the millennium, then as a result of this, through the light being shed from heaven, God's light, through the land and the heavenly Jerusalem to the earthly Jerusalem, then consequently, as a return, the kings first and the nations as a whole will bring back their own glory to the glory of Christ.
That are saved. Maybe people will wonder what nations are these. I take it from Matthew 25 that when the Lord Jesus comes at his appearing as the Son of Man, he said of his kingdom, he'll separate the sheep from the goats, and the nations that are saved will be those that will go in to inherit the kingdom prepared for them by the Father from the foundation of the world. I take it that these are the nations prepared to hear.
That will bring the gold to the city. Well, maybe that's true at the beginning, but that's no longer true at the end of the millennium, because the there will be a plenty of unsaved persons at that time. And anyway, we see in Zechariah 14 that the nation are more or less forced to bring their worship and to go to worship and their example. There is an ethical consideration also on this verse. Some of us are sometimes attracted by the world, attracted by the method, the pattern of the world in everything for the life, for the gospel, for everything. And we see here that it is exactly the contrary. It is not to the Christian, to the believer, to learn from the world. It is the world who will learn from the Christian. And what practical consideration for all of us is really the world learning from the Christian.
On this note, we refer to John 17 again. The method concerned of the word learning from believing. You find the two expressions there in verses 21 and 23, I think. In John 17:21, where it says that the word may believe, and in verse 23, that the word may know. At present, when we try to give life here, if we do it rightly, the word may believe. Once, this point of time has come here when it says that they may be made perfect in one. There will be the perfect display. The city will be enlightened by the glory of God. But then it says that the world may know. And to me, the twofold encouragement. One, to give a testimony here and now. But two, even if the testimony now is imperfect, there will be a time when the city will be enlightened. The word will learn. And it says here the word will know. Actually, we should read the rest of the sentence as well. That thou hast loved them as thou hast loved me. The word will recognize the, we call it the blessed position of that heavenly city. And so, what may be weak now, but there's encouragement for us to give that life, it will be a perfect thing.
Don't you think that?
Don't you think that this verse 24, when it is said the nation shall walk by its life, it's much beyond John 17, where it is here. If I am correct, I understand that it is really learning for all the aspects of the walk, not only simply understanding the unity of the believer.
Just the parallel I was trying to show was that it is the task of the assembly to give light for the unbelievers.
We should close the reading now for tea time. The praise in the meeting, please remember to give thanks for the meal.